The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
We've kind of, Rocky and I talked about this over the week. I started to text him and say, "Hey, Rocky, can you sing this song on Sunday?" And before I could even respond, he already sent me his list of what he planned on singing this morning. And it was funny how God worked all of these things out. Because in my head, I knew what we were going to talk about this morning, and it went along with this idea of Jesus being a king. And now, here's the thing. We've talked about how Jesus is a king, he's a king, he's a king. But there's one person in Scripture who says, look, Jesus is not my king. And we're going to look at his story today. Again, if you notice, Easter's coming up early. It's approaching earlier this year. And so I've been reading around the Easter story in different Gospels and stuff like that. And I found in the Gospel of John the story of Jesus and Pilate. Now, the very first thing I want you guys to realize about Pilate is that he's just a tool or an avenue that God uses. So his story, the story with he and Jesus starts in, it's in John chapter 18 and 19, but we're going to pick up in verse 19 of chapter 19, and it says this: Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read the sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priest and the Jews protested to Pilate, "Don't write 'the King of the Jews,' but this man claimed to be a King of the Jews." Pilate answered and said, "What I've written, I've written." So many times we think of Pilate as the bad guy, right? Like Pilate's the one who ordered the crucifixion of Jesus. But this statement right here is amazing. Because what Pilate declares in this moment, and again, there's little keys in there. Like it talks about how Jesus was crucified near the city. It said that the sign that hung above his head was written in three languages. That's so that everyone who passed by would see this statement that Jesus is the King of the Jews. Pilate makes a declaration about Jesus that even Jewish people didn't like. He says he is a King of the Jews. Pilate was great to declare Jesus a king. Had absolutely no problem at all saying, "Hey, this guy, I don't know what you did to make all these people angry, but there's your king." In fact, as we read this story over and over and over again, countless times, every time Jesus is brought before the Jewish people, Pilate says, "Here is your king." Over and over and over again, Pilate is so fast to declare Jesus a king. That's a pretty good start, right? It's funny, if you were to take a survey of Americans today, most Americans would not argue with this statement. Sure, Jesus is a king. I don't know. He lived in the Old Testament, or he lived in the old times. So, like, sure, I'm sure he was a king of something. He was probably a king. And you wouldn't have a lot of pushback, and people wouldn't really argue with that. This morning, most of you are probably here, and you would say, "Yeah, Jesus is a king." I've sang songs about it all morning. I can get behind that. Jesus is a king. Here's the problem, though. Pilate is quick to declare Jesus a king, but not his king. Keep reading, and you go back in chapter 18, in verses 33 through 35. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered and said, "Is this your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" Pilate responded, "Am I a Jew? Your own people, your chief priests, handed you over to me. What is it that you have done?" See, it's interesting. Pilate's great with Jesus being a king. But when Jesus comes and he says, "Hey, Pilate, I am the king," Pilate says, no, "I'm not a Jew. You're not my king. You're their king. Those people over there who, look, that rubble, those miscreants, those misfits, you can be king of them. You're not my king." And he makes this declaration and he says, "Listen, I'm not a Jew, therefore you're not my king." Now, we don't have people who would as boldly say things like that today. We're a little bit more subtle about it. But it's interesting, Pilate was fine with Jesus being king of the Jews, but not king of himself. There are a couple reasons Pilate wasn't all right to declare Jesus as his king. See, if you read chapter 19, verses 12 through 18, you find the first reason. From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. But the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at the place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, take him away and crucify him." "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priest answered. So finally, Pilate handed him over to them and they to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus, carrying his own cross. He went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him with two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. See, the first reason Pilate wasn't okay to take Jesus as his king is because in order to do that, Pilate would have to accept him as his king. When you read this story, it says he tried to set him free, but the pressure and the different things that were going on where if I do this, I have to align myself with Jesus. In order to align myself with Jesus, what they're telling me is that I'm in opposition to Rome. And if that's the case, that's been my whole life. That's everything I am. I'm a Roman official. I'm put in place to keep these people under control. And so in order to declare Jesus as my king, I would have to accept him as my king. And therefore, I would have to forego or forfeit everything else I believe in. One of the strangest and most impactful stories of my entire life is the time a guy jumped off of a pier to get away from me. If you know what a pier is, it's the things that go out into the ocean, you know, and you like fish off of them and stuff. Yes, okay. Some of you are looking at me like I'm crazy. And we had this thing at Bible college I went to. It was called open air evangelism. And so for like 3 weeks, they drilled in your head how to go out and share the gospel with people. And they said, you don't take no for an answer. So, okay, so me and my partner, we go out, her name's Becky Buck, and we go out and we're on the pier, and we got this guy, and we're starting to share with this guy the good news about how Jesus can save him. And he says, no, you don't understand. I'm Muslim. We don't care, Jesus can save you if you're Muslim. And we just keep going in, and we keep batting this guy over the head, and we get him cornered up against the pier. She's on one side, I'm on the other, and we're sharing with this guy the good news of how Jesus can save his life. And he goes, no, you don't understand. If I do this, my family will disown me. And we're like, that's all right, you can be a part of the family of God. And we start holding hands and singing the family of God, and we're just telling this guy about how good the gospel is. The next thing I know, this dude jumps off the pier into the water and swims in. And Becky, this is before cell phones, just so y'all are like, some of you are like, did he take his phone out of his pocket? Then not everybody had cell phones back in that day. And Becky and I walk away thinking, man, we really got that guy. He's under some conviction wherever he is floating around out there. But I realized at that time, man, like that was a big statement for him. We say, oh, well, you know, listen, just come to Jesus. It's so simple. It's so easy. And it is so simple and it's so easy. But it's also so challenging because in order to come to Jesus, you have to accept him. You have to take up your cross and follow him. You have to take his burden on you. You have to accept everything that he offers. And at times that means neglecting and rejecting other people. And for that guy, what that meant is we were telling him how good it is and how amazing and how wonderful it is. But all he could see is if I do this, my family forsakes me. I have no more mom. I have no more dad. And while the gospel is amazing and it's wonderful, to accept Jesus is not something that's cheap. See, Pilate understood that if he aligned himself with Jesus, if he made the proclamation and the declaration that Jesus is not just a king, but he's my king, that would put him at odds with Rome. And that was something he just wasn't willing to sacrifice. And so the first reason that he can't accept him as his king is just because he can't accept that. The second reason you find in chapter 19, verses 5 through 9. When Jesus came out wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe, Pilate said to the people, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officers saw him, They shouted, "Crucify, crucify." But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for the charges against him." The Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid and went back inside the palace. The second reason I think Pilate couldn't accept Jesus as his king is because in order to accept Jesus as your king, you have to fear God more than men. This interaction is interesting. He goes and he says, "Listen, guys, there's no reason to crucify this guy. Everything I'm asking him, all the questions, he's giving the right answers. There's no reason that I can find to crucify this guy. If you guys want to crucify him so bad, he's yours." And they say, "No, you don't understand. He has to be crucified according to our law because he has claimed that he is the Son of God." Now, at this point, the scripture says, it has this interesting phrase, "He was even more afraid." Now, two ways you can take that. He's even more afraid of Jesus at this moment, because if this guy is the Son of God, then what is he going to do to me if I send him to die on a cross? The second way you could take this is to say that he was even more afraid because he realized that this was way bigger to these Jewish people than he thought it was. This wasn't something they were going to let him sweep under the rug, him skate around, him get away without doing something about it, because they took this claim seriously. And if Pilate didn't do what they wanted him to do, they were going to rebel. And so at this moment, Pilate has a decision to make. And if, as you continue to read, he goes into Jesus and he asks Jesus a strange question. He doesn't ask Jesus, "Are you a son of God?" He doesn't ask Jesus anything like that. He says, "Where are you from?" He asks him where he's from because he wants to know, "Are you really the Son of God?" Jesus doesn't answer, and we're going to read the encounter in just a second, but it's at that moment that Pilate makes a decision. "I'm way more afraid of what they're going to do out there than what you're going to do to me in here." And he has this fear of people and what people are going to think and what people are going to do rather than God. Now listen, y'all are older and peer pressure is not a thing for you anymore, and nobody does silly, crazy things anymore because of your age. I know you guys are all way more mature than that. But how many times do we let the fear of people dictate what God tells us is absolutely against his commands? Charlotte had 100 days of school the other day, and Thursday night before 100 days of school, Kelsey said she was hiding in her closet and she was so scared to wear her costume because she's like, "What if they laugh at me, Mom?" They didn't. She was the cutest 100-year-old ever. But it's interesting. We laugh and it's so cute when it's a kid. But there are so many of us who are terrified to let people know our stance on Christ, to let people know our stance on who he is in our life, to ascribe to him king of our life because we're terrified of what our friends at work are going to say about us. Y'all ever do that? Y'all ever been that person who somebody says something they're not supposed to do? You say, "Man, you shouldn't talk like that." Next thing you know, what happens? You're the butt of all the jokes. Man, I coached football for 7 years. I stayed away from them at practice. When they practiced, I went with kickers. Kickers were very calm. We thought alike. We could go hang out in a corner by ourselves. But man, after games, I'll never forget, there was one day I was sitting there and they were talking. These are married guys and they're talking about another lady at school. And I'll never forget, I walked away and one of the guys said, "What's wrong, pros?" And I was like, I don't want to think about that. I don't want to talk about that. And I went from being pros to being preacher. And I wasn't allowed to be around them anymore when they were talking about things like that. And all of a sudden, I was on the outs because I said, "Hey, this just doesn't really, I don't want to hear about that." But man, how many of us live in fear of our jobs, of our success, of whatever it is, because we'd rather climb a corporate ladder, or we'd rather do this, or we'd rather have that, or we'd rather have people view us as a certain thing than to stand aligned with Jesus. The story continues in John chapter 18. Pilate asked Jesus, he says, "So you are a king then?" Jesus answered, "You have said that I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born and I came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone who is on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him." See, Pilate wasn't willing to accept or acknowledge Jesus for his truth. It's interesting. Jesus tells him here, "Hey, listen, anyone who hears what I say and believes him is aligned with the truth." And Pilate's very next question isn't, "Well, man, tell me something good." His very next question is, "Well, then what is truth?" See, he's not willing to acknowledge that what Jesus says is the truth. In our culture today, be careful, because truth is not defined by everyone's own independent thoughts. Truth is defined by the Word of God. I may not, I got asked one time, because I asked the same question. By the way, Wednesday night Bible study is most amazing night of the week. Sunday's coming in close, so if you can't make it to Wednesday, come to Sunday. They're both phenomenal, all the way from our nursery, all the way up to our student ministry, to our adult Bible study in here. That's my plug for Wednesday and Sunday. Every Wednesday I ask the same question sometimes when we read a passage of scripture. Anything you like, you have a question about, or you what? Nobody's going to say it? Don't like. I got in trouble one time. My pastor said, "Why are you going to ask people if they don't like scripture?" Because there's parts of scripture I don't like. I don't like it. It doesn't mean it's not true. It doesn't mean I don't agree. I don't submit to it, but I don't necessarily like it. There's a passage in scripture that says, if anyone doesn't hate his own mother and father, he can't come after me. I love my mom and dad. I'm a mama's boy through and through. I don't necessarily like that passage of scripture, but it doesn't mean that I don't believe it, and it's not what I live my life based upon. See, we've gotten people who have said, "Well, listen, if scripture isn't, if it doesn't make me feel comfortable, I don't like it. And I don't have to listen to that part of scripture." Kelsey always tells me, she said, "Sometimes you give people too much scripture." I'm like, "I know, but here's my concern. If I just take the verse that I'm talking about, I'm ripping it out of context. And if I'm ripping it out of context, I'm using scripture to prove my point instead of giving you scripture and saying, 'Hey, listen, here's how I see this. What about you?'" But the reason I want to do that is because of this. I want you to understand that scripture is the basis. Not my opinion, not what I think, not what I believe. Scripture. If something I ever say you disagree with, come tell me. "Hey, listen, I don't think that was right. I've made mistakes before. I'll make mistakes again." But what will not ever make a mistake is the Word of God. That has lasted longer than you or I could ever imagine. The truth that is found within it is ageless. So Pilate couldn't accept Jesus because he couldn't accept the fact that what Jesus said and the words of Jesus were simply truth, and there was no need for explanation or to go beyond that. Lastly, in John chapter 19, verses 8 through 12, you find this verse, these verses. Picking up in verse number 8, when he heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back into the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have power to either free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." See, the biggest reason Caesar couldn't let Jesus be his king is because if Jesus was his king, then he would have to submit to Jesus' authority. He wouldn't have to look to Caesar for direction. He wouldn't have to look for himself to make decisions. He would have to say, all right, Jesus, you're king. And so if you're king, then I am your subject. I submit to your authority. You tell me what to do and I'll do it. And Pilate just couldn't wrap his head around that. He's a high-ranking guy. He makes decisions. He says go and people go. He says come and people come. He says put him to death and people put him to death. Pilate had all the power that he could conceive of. But what he couldn't conceive of is that there was somebody more powerful than him. For all these reasons, Pilate said, listen, you can be a king. That's cool. I'm going to put above your cross as we crucify you. He's a king, but he's not my king. Church, we've looked at Pilate today. We've looked at all the reasons he has as to why Jesus can't be his king. And when we came in here this morning together, I told you that a lot of people would be here today and they'd say, oh, Jesus is a king, absolutely. I'm not going to fight you on that. I'm not going to argue with you on that. Sure, he was a king. I wasn't there. I have no clue what the political realm was like. I have no clue what the votes were. I have no clue how things happened. So sure, if Jesus wants to be a king, he can be a king. The question isn't, is he a king? The question is he your king? Because the same reason that Pilate has are the same reasons that we give. I don't know that I want to accept Jesus as my king. In order to accept him as my king, I have to do weird things like go to church. Miss Becky, some of them folks down there at church are weird. And if I go, people might think I'm one of the weird ones. Hey man, we're all weird together. If I accept Jesus, what things am I going to have to stop doing? I don't know. That's between you and him. But a lot of you stop shy of declaring Jesus as your king because you can't just accept the fact that in order to do that, you have to let him take control of everything. You have to count on him to save you. You have to count on him to forgive your sins. You have to acknowledge that he is a king and he's your king. Some of you today, you can't get over the fact that, man, listen, if he's my king, I've got to stand up and I've got to do some things differently. And what are people going to think of me? Back when I was growing up, going to the altar was a big thing. I don't know why. But I always heard pastors and preachers talk about white knuckling. You know what white knuckling is? White knuckling is when you're grabbing the pew so hard in front of you because you can't go down. Because if I go down, somebody's going to know I've got problems in my life. If I go down, people are going to think that I'm not perfect. And what's crazy is the bigger the stage, the bigger the arena, the more fear we have. And so I can't go down because what will people think of me? This morning, if Jesus is your king, you will fear God way more than you'll fear people. If Jesus is your king, you'll stand on his truth. Not what CNBC, not what Fox News, not what MSN, I don't even know any of the news networks anymore because I don't know that any of them are real. But that's not my definition of truth. It's not what conservatives tell me. It's not what liberals tell me. My definition of truth is based on Scripture and Scripture alone. But can I be honest and tell you where most of us get hung up today? It's that authority part. Look, I'm good to accept Jesus' gift of salvation. Can't do it on my own, so it's got to be up to you. I'm good to say, hey, listen, in today's world, if you don't like me for who I am, somebody else will. So if I get made fun of by you, great, I'll go find somebody who won't make fun of me. That's why I hang out with kids so much. Most of us are good to say, hey, listen, Scripture, yeah, I think what's in Scripture is true. Or a lot of us get hung up between Jesus being a king and Jesus being your king. Is on that authority part. I want to live my life the way I want to live my life. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And we can't get over the fact that somebody else is greater than us. This morning, church, I don't know, we started kind of the worship segment with that famous preacher talking about how Jesus is his king and asking, do you know him? And when that was going on, a lot of us were saying, yeah, that's my king, that's my king. This morning, I wonder, can you really say, Jesus is my king? In just a moment, Rocky's going to come and we're going to have a hymn of invitation and worship. This is your chance to respond. Listen, maybe Jesus has been a king in your life. He's never been your king. Whether for any of the reasons, or maybe you have other reasons that I don't even know about. And you say, I can't say he's my king because of this. This morning, can I tell you that one way or the other, he is. And there's coming a time in Revelation, where we're reading on Sunday night, where every tongue will confess, he's my king. Some reigning beside him in heaven. And some from the pits of hell. But one way or the other, every single tongue will confess, Jesus Christ is king. Man, listen, before it gets to that point, don't put off tomorrow what you need to do today. Father God, we thank you. Jesus, you are king. God, you're not just a king. This morning, Jesus, I want to declare you are my king. I lived way too many years trying to have you as a king and not put you as king of my life. This morning, God, maybe there are others in this room who they're quick to declare Jesus a king, but either they've never accepted him, they've never accepted the gift of salvation and had their righteousness replaced by his. Father, if they were to die today, they wouldn't spend eternity with you in heaven, because they've never accepted your gift of salvation, your grace, your mercy in their life. Father, there's others in this room who maybe, God, they've stopped shy of saying that for different reasons, and whether it's one of the reasons we've talked about this morning, or God, it's a reason that we've never even heard of. God, they know in the quietness and the stillness of this moment, they can't declare you as their king. Father, I pray that you would just convict our hearts. God, that today we would leave here united under the banner of Christ, declaring with our lives, with our mouths, with our actions, with everything, you are my king. Lord, we love you. We ask that you, your spirit work in our lives now. In Jesus' name we pray.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.